God, thank you for your word. As we go through it, help us to understand it and strengthen and help us in our walk with you. And Lord, we do pray for many people that have colds and flu, and even in our church, and we pray you heal them quickly. Let them feel comfortable today. Let them find healing in you, and pray that we here do not get it, Lord, that we are protected and you keep the rest of us safe. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Proof of the gospel. Only God, the creator of heaven and earth, can change a person. He's the only one that can change a person on the inside, the heart of man, and change a man for the better. Make them a better person to be around. Make them into a godly person with godly characteristics. Give one a new nature. Make them spiritually alive. Only God can do that. Only God can bring a person into the light out of the darkness of this life and have them start really living and have hope in life and hope of eternal life. Only God can do that. Put real hope in a person. Change a person. Make a person new. Only God. Maybe you've undertaken a project in your life, a person, and you're realizing it's not working. I can't change this man. I can't change this woman. I can't change this child. Well, you can't, but God can, and that's the good news. And we have the power of prayer to ask God to work. See, only God can do these things. The text today, the rest of chapter 1, is about Paul's transformation. Turning around, going to the right side, having light in his life, becoming a new person. You know, we Christians and Jesus called it being born again. We can be born again. You don't have any choice where you were born the first time, but you do have a choice to be born again and start new life. Nobody else in life can do that for you. Take an eraser and say, let's wash all that away. You might have had a lot of regrets in life, a lot of sorrow for things you did wrong. God can take all of that and say, gone. You're brand new. Sins are forgiven. You're now my child, and I will take care of you. Only God can do that. Become a new person. We become a new person because when we're born again, we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and he works in us and through us to have that new life. See, God changed me. I am a changed man. You know, sometimes as you get to know people in the church, and all these years you get to know a lot of people, and you only see them in a church surrounding, and in fellowship and with Christians. And sometimes you'll get talking when you're in a certain situation or eating with them or something, you'll get talking, and they'll share something about their old life, what they used to do. And you'll say, I can't believe you ever did that. Did you ever have that happen to you? It's like you think of this person as this dear saint. Man, they're just perfect. They're always neat when they come to church. They're always right on. They love the Lord. They worship. And then they start sharing some old story and say, oh, I don't want it enough. Too much information. I want to know you the way you are now. And it's hard to believe, isn't it? What you used to be. And how God takes that and makes you a new person. It's wonderful. You can be a new person in Christ. Have a fresh start. I'm a changed man. I have a new nature. And I have the power and strength to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The book of Galatians is about that. We're going to get into those scriptures, how if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because people wonder, well, how can I live this new life? And it tells us how to live that new life. It's a great book. As we shared in the last couple of weeks, Paul was writing because these were new Christians here in these churches in Galatia, the area of modern-day Turkey. And this was new to them. But soon, if you look at verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. They were starting to turn away from that gospel. He says, are you guys crazy? You've had the truth revealed to you. Why would you go back? It's so good to be born again. See, false teachers were coming in among the Christians, the churches, and they were adding to or changing the gospel. And there were Judaizers who were saying, you have to obey the Mosaic law, the traditions of the fathers, and Jesus is not enough. That's blasphemy. Jesus is enough. He died for you and me. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses a man from all sin. No one else or nothing else can do that. You can't add anything to the gospel. That's why Paul said, I determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because he was very theological, very learned in the scriptures. He could easily have counted on what he knows. Oh, he could have said, like a lot of people do today, boy, God's really lucky for saving me, man. I'm going to be a real blessing to God and the church. We are nothing. We're just instruments. God used a donkey to talk for him. If you remember the story about Balaam, we're just empty pots, hopefully, that God can fill up and use. You see, it's all God. And the grace of God is what changes us. It's all about, and Paul knew that. And these false teachers were coming on and laying these legal trips on these people. And Paul writes here in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. It seems these people, these Judaizers, these false teachers are coming in and trying to make friends with the Jews and say, well, we'll compromise a little bit. We'll go along with your logic and law because we want you to follow us. People like to make things palatable to people, be friends with people so that, to be honest with you, to make money off of the people and have people follow them. That's how cults start. They just had this special this past week on it because I think it was the anniversary of Koresh there in the Davidian cult there in Waco, Texas. I'm amazed that people would follow this guy and die for him. He professed to be God. God's his spirit. You know, and yet people, it seems when you lay trips on them or you're charismatic or you kind of guide them in life, they fall for that. That's why Jesus said, follow me. Not a man, not a pastor, not a movement. Follow me. And these people are coming on and along and destroying these people, what they believed in, the freedom they had in Christ. And it seems they were trying to please men. And Paul says, I'm not a man pleaser. I'm here to correct you, whether you like it or not, because I love you that much. You know, when we used to discipline our children, you'd say, hey, this hurts me more than it does you. And kids would laugh. I'd laugh when my parents would say, oh, yeah? Then let me spank you, you know? You laugh at that. But when I became a parent, I found out it does. You don't want to have to discipline and hurt people, direct your child. But because of love, you do it. So they don't get into trouble when they get older. They need direction, chastising. God says he chastises us as a father chastises his son. That's biblical. It's in the book of Hebrews. But today, that's out the window, and kids are out the window, you know. No discipline. And so Paul is saying, hey, I'm not here to persuade men. He says, am I here to persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? He says, I'm not here to make you my friend. I'm here to be your teacher and draw you to God. You see? And in that process, you do make friends and you earn respect. because you stand for the truth. And he says, I'm not a man pleaser. I'm not trying to please you or make friends. I'm here to correct you. Paul was definitely not a man pleaser. When you read the New Testament, he was hated. He was thrown out about just about every city he went into. He was left for dead. But God raised him up. He loved people. He loved people. It's interesting how people hate people that love God and love them. Isn't that interesting? They're the ones that say, well, where's the love, man? Well, we should say, where's the love? You're right. Where's the love for me? See, he loved people, but he wasn't a compromiser. He wasn't a man pleaser, because Paul sought to please God, and we should live the same. And there's a cost when you do that, because people won't like you at times. You know, people always kill the messenger. You're going to give people bad news, and but you're the bad guy. The doctor tells you, you need this, you're dying. I'm going to go find another doctor. But if you're wise, you'll take his counsel, maybe be healed. One who really loves will tell you the truth, and they will want to help you. You see, and that's the way Paul was. But if you seek to please men and you want everybody to love you and like you, you know, then he says, then I wouldn't be faithful to Christ. I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Because there's things I have to say to you that are going to be hard for you to take. When people told me and my wife at our own house that we weren't good and we weren't going to heaven, I got really upset. And as soon as they left, I said, they're never coming back to this house again. But that planted a seed. And more people came across our path. And we checked it out and went to church, opened up the Bible and says, they were right. Wow, I want to go to heaven. I'm not going to heaven right now. And so eventually we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. Thank God for all those people who told me I wasn't right. Our first reaction as a human being is, I'm perfect. How can you tell me anything? Don't you know I know it all? So he says, I'm not seeking to please you, then I wouldn't be faithful to Christ, because God might tell me to tell you something, and I have to be faithful to his word, and I'm going to share things in the Bible that are contrary to the way you're living, but I have to tell you to correct you. I have to be faithful to God. God must be first in the life of a Christian. Now, everyone says that, but we have to ask ourselves, who do we really serve, or what do we really serve? When the rubber meets the road, when there's these tough decisions in family, in business, in life, what do we do? Do we compromise, or do we stay faithful to God? I can tell you, if you stay faithful to God, he will bless you. Because we've gone through all those things, and we are blessed because we're faithful to God. It takes faith. You know, Jesus said you can't serve two masters in Matthew 6:24. You can only follow one all the time, not part-time. We don't have a part-time religion. We have a full-time loving commitment to God. That's what we have. It's not part-time. Who do we serve? It usually shows when tough decisions come up. Are we going to compromise, or are we going to stand for the Lord? And if one is concerned about pleasing man and not causing any waves, and we don't go out there purposely and demeaning people or condemning people, we go as Paul does in the spirit of love, because we love people and we want to see them have a relationship with God and go to heaven. But there has to be a messenger delivering the news to them that they don't have that. And we are the ones God has called, we Christians. And that's the simple way to look at it. We're just messengers, and we do it out of love. Not like, hey, I'm better than you. You're going to hell and I'm going to heaven. Well, they're probably going to walk away. But if we live it out, and we do it out of love. If you're angry, then wait on the Lord till He heals you. Pray you have the words to share, the spirit to do it in, and let God guide you to go and speak. Otherwise, you're going to blow it. You want to be representing God at all times. God loved me while I was yet a sinner. We need to remember that. And we're all sinners, and some of us saved by grace, but we're all sinners, but for the grace of God, there go I, no matter who I talk to, but for the grace of God, I'd be just as bad. And we didn't know that. But we must not compromise and say, well, you're okay. We have to tell truth, but in a loving way. And don't text it. Talk to people. That's the way it must be done. Communicate. Because texting is a one-way conversation. You must see the person's face. You must see the emotions involved. You must sense what needs to be said. God must direct you spontaneously by the Spirit to speak. It has to be that way. It always was. You see, you and I won't be a faithful servant if we try to please man. Verse 11 and 12, he says, but I may make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me, when I came and preached the gospel to you, is not according to man. He says, what I'm sharing with you, I didn't devise. Some guys didn't sit down and write this stuff up. The message is the same from thousands of years ago till now. It hasn't changed. You see, someone didn't sit down and just write this stuff. And I came and shared it with you. He says, the gospel, the good news of forgiveness, salvation, which was preached by me, Paul, was not originated by man or by me. Verse 12, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. It came right from the top, this message that I gave you, right from God. And we know from Acts 9, God, Paul had a personal revelation from Jesus Christ when he was going to Damascus, knocked off his horse, and he says, who are you, Lord? And he says, I'm Jesus Christ. Why are you persecuting me? And he gave Paul his commission. He had a direct revelation from the Lord. He says, here's what I want you to do. Go share the gospel. It was right from God, straight from the top. God revealed himself to Paul. He wasn't taught by man, or the revelation didn't come from man. It came right from the Lord. You know, he was born again. And we born again Christians are not a cult. We're not following some devised words that man created or some modern day savior. We have the truth. Our faith is in a person, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. You know, people are searching for faith or spirituality or answers. They check out all religions, all kinds of books. God said, this is the way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, period. And there's no access to me except through him. Jesus cried out on the cross, it is finished. That's it. There's no new thing. So man didn't originate our faith. There are so-called prophets that came along after that and says, well, now you have to read this book. Or you have to do this thing. That's what they were doing back in Paul's day. Well, you know, these cults come knocking at your door and say, well, you need our book and you need to do these things. I don't need anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Isn't that simple? You know why that's good? Because a 5-year-old or a 95-year-old can accept it and go to heaven. You don't have to take any courses. It's wonderful. It didn't originate by man, it originated by God, our faith. And our faith, and the proof of it, our faith is real, is that it changes lives. That's the proof of the gospel, a changed life. You can fake religion. You can fake Christianity. You can fake any other religion or faith. But you can't fake being born again. Because in John 3, when Jesus talks about that. He says, it's like the wind. You don't really, you know, if you walked in here and you said, boy, did you see the wind yesterday? I saw the wind. Was it fierce? Then you're wrong. You know, you never see the wind. You see the effects of the wind. You see the trees and what's happening because things blowing around. He says, that's the way it is with the Spirit. It just, when you're born again, you'll see the change, the effects of it. You'll see the effects of the Holy Spirit. We call that fruit of the Holy Spirit, which we get into in the book of Galatians. There's the fruit of the Spirit is love, gentleness, kindness, all these things. It's a changed life. I had religion before I was born again, but I didn't have that fruit. It was a legal relationship. Now I'm born again and I have a loving relationship with God, and there's fruit that shows. Hopefully, I can still get in the flesh and mess things up, but if I walk in the Spirit, I'm fine. But God changes a person. Paul is now changed. And he goes on in verse 13, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. This guy really hated Christians. He was a horrible man as far as persecuting the church. He did not like Christians. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Please turn ahead to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1, verse 13. Let's start in verse 12, 1 Timothy 1. He writes, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God put Paul into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent, arrogant man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. He says, oh, I was an insolent, arrogant man. I was a persecutor, a blasphemer. I was all those bad things. And I tried to destroy the church. But he says, because I was blinded. I didn't know the truth. But once the Lord revealed himself to Paul, he turned around. You think a man like that couldn't be saved, who so hated Christians? Maybe someone in your life is blinded and hates you simply because you're a Christian. Maybe your home's like that. You know, and you feel there is absolutely no hope. You know, we all have that person in our life. We say, if that person comes to the Lord, then I know Jesus is coming back quickly. Because, man, they are an impossible case. And maybe there's someone like that. Well, this gives you hope. Paul was that way. Maybe they persecute you because you go to church or you're a Christian or you talk about the Lord. There's hope. Paul was the same way. And people probably would say, he'll never be a Christian. He became a Christian and a preacher of the gospel. All by the grace of God, not because someone else changed him, or he took a few courses and it changed him, or read a book and it changed him, because God changed him. It's all a work of the Holy Spirit. We're better off spending our time in prayer than anything else. Our hope will be in God and his grace always. So pray. Pray for that person. Just cover them with prayer. He goes on to say in verse 14, I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father. He says, I was a religious Jew. I was religious, zealous, exceedingly zealous to keep up the traditions of my father. Paul was religious. He believed in Judaism. He was sold out. He didn't expect to change his stance on what he believed in. He was set in it, and he was fighting for it, for what he believed. You see, he was religious, but now he's loving and has a relationship with God. He doesn't have religion. He has a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the difference between Christianity and religion. We don't do things because we have to. We do things because we want to, because we love the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? We have our choice to love. You don't want someone to marry you that has to. You want someone to marry you that loves you. You know, if you're seeking love, you don't go out and buy a doll when that can talk and sit on the couch and you wind it up and says, I love you, I love you, I love you. Is that going to satisfy you tonight? No, you don't want that. You want the real thing. Same with God. He wants the real thing with us. Coming to Him because we love Him and knowing that He loves us. You know, in Colossians it says, bond is the super glue. It says, or love is the super glue that bonds things together. See, it's that super glue love. It bonds us together. That's what does it. You can't substitute for that. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So Paul says in verse 14, I was sold out, I was a zealot, but now I've changed. And you know, remember the last few weeks as we've been studying in his book, we see the word but a lot. Isn't it great? Because you get all this bad news on one side, but then in the Bible we see it, but God. And that makes it all right. So that's the way he was. But then we get to verse 15. But, that's the way I was, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, you see, he says, but guess what? This horrible man, God looked down on one day, spoke to me, and I received the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? So all that stuff on the other side of the ledger is gone. All that he did. Boy, Paul could have had a real guilty conscience. He was there ascending to the killing of Stephen, the first martyr. And that could have bothered him his whole life, saying, look what I've done. I've thrown Christians in prison, watched people die, taken them captive. That could have really bothered his conscience. But he says, that's all gone. It's all gone because God in his wonderful grace has called me to him and I'm forgiven. It's wonderful. He says, I've got a relationship with God. God loves me. You know, some people think, well, God could never love me. He'll never accept me because you don't know how bad I've been. No, I don't, but God does. And he says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. It doesn't matter. You know, we don't get together to see who is badder. No. We talk about the new life in Christ. We're all bad. We're all sinners. There isn't one sin smaller than another sin. The book of James says, if you've done this, but you haven't committed murder, you've still committed murder because if you offend in one area, you offend in all. Sin is sin. It stops a person from going to heaven. Isn't that great? God says, whew, all gone, Paul, no matter what. That's love. It pleased God. And remember, nothing's impossible for God. That's why our hope is in the Lord. He can save the guttermost to the uttermost. He can do that. And he does do it. Remember when Israel fled Egypt? We're going through Exodus on Wednesday, and eventually we're going to see that. When Israel was fleeing Egypt, they got to the Red Sea. And then there's the Red Sea on one side and Pharaoh's army on the other. How do you want to die? Drowning or killed by the sword? What happened? God parted the Red Sea. He can do the impossible. Maybe you feel this is impossible, the situation I'm in. Well, that's good. You're ready for a miracle. Pray. Just pray. God changes things. He changes a person. He was persecuting the church, but God changed me is what he's saying in verse 15. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. God changed me in God's timing when it pleased God. God had a timing in all of this. And in God's timing, Paul was saved and became a preacher because that was God's timing. when it happened. That's why we have this story to look back on and give other people hope. God knew what he was doing. And it says, God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Paul realized, even before I was born, when I was in my mother's womb, God knew where I would be today. He knew what my future would hold. God knows everything. God knows. He's omniscient. He knew that Paul would receive him. He knew that I would receive the Lord one day. Did he force me to do that? No, he gave me choice, but he knew what my choice would be. God's grace set me apart from his mother's womb. And Paul responded and he changed. God called me, I responded and I changed. Many of us here responded when God called. We chose to believe God's word, and God, through his foreknowledge, knew what we would do. You see, that's as simple as it is. When we're saved, we are saved for a reason. That's what we need to know. When God saves us, when we're born again, it's for a reason. Not just to feel better about ourselves, but he saves us to share him, to preach him, and let people see the changed life in us, to give people hope. The vilest of sinners on the earth could hear God's word today in some church and repent and confess and invite Jesus into their heart, and they will take a 180-degree change and have a new life. Today, grace, they call that grace. You remember the story in Acts 9 when Peter was saved, or when Paul was saved? He told Ananias to go and talk to him. And Ananias, in Acts 9, verse 10 to 15, says, I'm not going to talk to Paul. I hear he's the guy that's going around persecuting the church. Are you crazy? But he obeyed God and went. People were afraid to see Paul. When Paul came to town, that was trouble when you were a Christian. He says, and God, do you want me to go talk to this man now? God says, yeah. And I want you to tell him what he's going to do for me. And Paul received it. Changed man. Maybe people are afraid of you today. They hate to see you walk in a room. When you walk into a room and people stop talking, it doesn't mean they're not talking about you. You know, we usually think, are you talking about me? Maybe they are. And they're afraid of what you're going to say or what you're going to do. But one day, you know, somebody that's not a Christian that you know is going to walk into that room and you're going to wonder what's going to happen, and they're going to just be the kindest person you ever met. I can remember when I became a Christian, I'd go to work and they'd say, you know, I want to do this. No, I don't do that anymore. What did you get, religion? No, Jesus Christ. I become a Christian. You're a changed person. The end of verse 16, he called me through his grace to reveal his son, preach his son among the Gentiles, and I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. He says, God was gracious to me. He changed me. He gave me a commission. But here's the important thing. When God called me, I didn't immediately go over to the headquarters of the church. I didn't go and talk it over with others or confer with others about what happened or about what I should do. He says, I didn't do that. Today, when a celebrity gets saved, man, they put him on stage and everything else. And then 2 years down the road, he's fallen again, and you have to, you know, I feel bad about that. People need to be proven. You see, here's the thing. Paul didn't immediately go and try to make friends with the church or get a position or be used or confer with others and, well, what really happened? What should I do? Blah, blah, blah. He says, I didn't do that. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. That's where all the apostles were. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Most people's thoughts would be, hey, I'm going to headquarters or where the big church is and tell people and see what's going on. He says, I didn't do any of that. He went to the desert. Just the opposite. He says, I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. That's important. I didn't go to consult with others or even the apostles, and I didn't need recognition from man or approval from man that I'm now okay, or that this commission is correct. Paul just believed God and Jesus, the one who commissioned him. And as people come to the Lord and we have this changed life, we need to learn as Christians to consult with God and not man. It's good to get godly Christian counsel, but we have to make sure that doesn't run our life, that our life isn't based on other people. We need to be sure what they said is aligned with the Word of God. Most of all, we need to be in close fellowship with God and be directed by God. We need to learn to do that as Christians. We're so quick to get approval of something and we kind of feel better. Well, then I made the right choice because they say I did too. We need to learn that our approval needs to come from God and not man. And we're not here to please man or to be guided by man. We're here to please God and be directed by God. We need to get in that place in life where we hear God's voice, not audibly, could be through an impression, a word, or whatever, but we know God is speaking to us, and then we obey God, and it'll always align with His word. He says, I went to the desert, to Arabia. We call that the College of the Desert. That's where you go to be alone with God, and you learn to hear God. No noise. Probably to be alone. He went to be alone with God, to get prepared, to hear from God. He went to grow in his faith. Because we must be knowledgeable in the Word. We must be knowing God is speaking to us. You know what I call it? Paul's honeymoon. You get married, you go away on a honeymoon. Why? To be together. You don't invite the whole family on the honeymoon. Maybe you did, but I think it's better if you do it alone. I mean, you go alone because you love this person and you want to be alone and bond. That's what Paul did. He has this new honeymoon. He's part of the bride of Christ. He says, I want to be alone with him. I don't want to hear his voice. And Paul was a servant of Jesus and he obeyed orders and learned how to follow him. Verse 18, he says, but then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. He says, but, you know, I did this, but after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem. I talked to Peter, stayed with him about 15 days. That's all we know about that. But I saw none of the other apostles. I didn't go meet all the others, except James, the Lord's brother. I ran into him. So this wasn't a big thing to him about approval from man, because he knew God. And we know by reading these letters, Paul knew God. He had a good teacher, the Lord, you see. Now, verse 20, and he says, now concerning the things which I write to you, hey, I'm writing this to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. He says, hey, this is the truth. I'm telling you the truth here. This is the way it worked for me. But then afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. He didn't go down where the other apostles were and all. He stayed up north. He says, I went to these different places, fulfilling the call of God upon my life. God called me to go to these other places. I didn't go where everybody else was. That's where I went to. And he says, that's where my ministry was. And he actually was unknown in Judea. He says, I was unknown by face. They heard of me, but by my face, I was unknown to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. In other words, man, if I walked in the room, they'd never know I was there. I never saw them before. They heard of me, but I didn't become this popular personality. He says, I didn't seek to be known. He says, I was unknown by face. I went where the gospel was not preached, and these people down there probably would have never recognized me. But, verse 23, they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. He says, here's the testimony I did have. And see, God changes lives. It showed in Paul's life. He says, the testimony I have is that they were saying, this guy Paul, who formerly hated us and persecuted us, is now one of us. And he preaches the faith he once tried to destroy. That's the proof of the gospel. A changed life, sharing the word of God. because you love other people. He went and preached, and he was fruitful. You know, we're quick to ask others, well, what do you think? What should I do? What do you think of this or these plans? Go to God. God changes lives. He directs us. He will show us what to do. And the good thing about it, when it's all from God, verse 24, and they glorified God in me. The people were not glorifying Paul or talking about Paul. Probably Paul didn't even want his name used. Today, names are all up front there. He says, they glorified God because this bad man was saved. That's the way it should be. We're just in the background. Vessels. God can use a donkey. I was just thinking about that this morning. God, use me as you used the donkey before I came to church. That's all I want to be, a donkey. If it takes being a donkey, I want to be a donkey so that it's nothing to do with me, because that's more powerful to hear from God. So next week I might come walking in with a donkey suit on or something. But no, what we want is for God to hear, for people to hear God. He's the one that changes lives, and he's the one that needs to be glorified. Next week, chapter 2. Father, we thank you for your word today. We just pray that you would move in a powerful way among us. Lord, we need revival, our community, our nation, our world. I pray you would mold all of us into instruments that you can use, that you could just work through. I pray that you speak to us as to what it is, the work you have for us to do. Lord, we want to share this good news. But let the greatest news be our life. Let people see you in us, Lord. Let them see that love acted out, that gentleness, that kindness, that hope. Let them see the fruit of the Spirit in us, Lord. If we've gotten in the way recently in the flesh, please convict us, and as we confess to you, forgive us, Lord, and make things right again in that relationship. We want to be Christians, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. Lord, help us. There's so much attack and temptation in the world. We want to resist that. Give us the power to do that, Lord. Fill our days with good things, things of the Lord. And as this message was shared today, help us all. We pray we would come to that place where we hear you, have wisdom and direction, and leave here today committed to obeying. And Lord, as we receive communion now, the first Sunday of the month, what a way to start the new year, Lord. Remembering the grace of God through offering up his son, Jesus Christ. The only reason we're here and we're going to heaven is because Jesus came and died in our place. We thank you for that. We thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses a man from all sin. And Lord, as communion is for believers, we do invite all to partake with us. But if you're not a believer, become one today and partake with us. Just believe these words we've shared today, that salvation is through grace, by faith in Jesus Christ. Just believe Jesus is the Son of God and he came to this world to die for you. Personally, he wants you to be in his family. He loves you. And God wants you to come to him. He won't reject you. Just acknowledge you're a sinner, that your only hope is in Jesus and his sacrifice. Repent of your sin, confess it, and turn from it and start following him. And as I say this prayer, just repeat it in your heart to the Lord if you need to, and invite him in, and you will be born again and experience new life. Dear God in heaven, I am a sinner. I have sinned against you, and I've hurt others. And I now believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me to pay for my sin. And I now repent of my sin and ask Jesus to come into my life, to take over and make me a new person. I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Teach me how to live and bring me to that place where you want me to serve you. I love you, Lord. I thank you that I now have a reservation in heaven. And I thank you for giving me a second chance at life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As they